Welcome to the Unafraid Podcast, hosted on the OKC First Podcast Network. My name is Zach Lucero, and I am the youth and creative pastor here at OKC First. Sitting on the couch, as always, a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, our senior pastor, John Middendorf.
I'm going to need to start looking at those because they're getting worse.
They're worse.
They're scarier to me as we go.
That was an homage to our intern. What was his name?
Clark Giblet?
Clark? No. No. Curtis?
No, I don't remember. I don't think there is one.
I don't know. I think he was like a graduate fellow or something.
The Amish kid.
Did our announcements. Yeah. Not sure. All right. And also here we have executive director of one. I almost called you the executive pastor. I'm sorry. Executive director of one, Kaylee Vaughn. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. This is going to be a different episode. This is strange because I'm about to pass the baton to John.
That's right. So on today's episode, I wanted to talk to Kaylee. As you just heard, she's the executive director of our nonprofit, Our Neighborhood Empowered, hereafter referred to as ONE, because that's,
easier.
I get it.
And I want to talk to Zach, one of our pastors on the staff, because they both are working very hard during this season of the coronavirus. And I kind of wanted you to hear a little bit about what their day-to-day is like, and I want you to hear what they're working on and what their unique concerns are during this season. And so I want Zach to be a guest today, and I'll just host and interview both of you because I have two hands.
And you can use them both.
That's right.
At the same time.
That's right.
I'm ambidextrous.
I am amphibious, so I'll be able to do this.
Nope. I don't think that's how that goes. That's fine.
So
I'm not the host. It's fine.
So you're a guest today. So I want to ask. I'm going to ask each of you this question. I want to know what a day in the life of the executive director of ONE is these days, right? And we'll say a typical weekday. Just kind of walk us through what that's like, and then I'm going to ask you the same question, Zach. What is the typical day in the life of a staff member during COVID-19 season, right? So, Kaylee, we'll start with you. Tell us about a typical day.
I feel like my days consist of a lot of coffee, a lot of Zoom calls, Google Docs, and texting. It seems like every day has a pack full of that. We are trying to check in on the people in our community as often and as much as we can. And so that is just, if someone pops in my mind, I just text them. Yeah. So,
and you're a two-man crew right now, right?
Yes. Okay. So thankfully I have the infamous Sydney Carolina, which is the best name ever.
Absolutely best.
And she is checking on our participants in our program currently. So the kids we had enrolled at the time, and I am checking on anyone who previously was in our program or who we know through the community that I have contact with. Been doing a little Facebook creeping to see if I can find anyone that I have in my head but can't quite get a number of or get a hold of. But other than that, it's so many Zoom calls. So much Zoom. I saw a funny meme that was Zoom is really behind this coronavirus.
It's true.
Man, I feel like everyone is Zooming these days.
I think I have, like, you've heard of swimmer's ear or tennis elbow. I think I have Zooming neck. It's just too much. Anyway, Kaylee, it's April the 2nd.
I don't even have anything witty to say.
Yeah. It's April the 2nd. Let's say that we weren't going through this at all. What would your day be like on a typical April 2nd? What would you be doing on a day like today?
And today's a Thursday, so we have a staff meeting as a church staff. But I, a lot of my days before this were meeting with different nonprofits, meeting with different outreach groups in the city to kind of just resource finding to see where we can connect our people, but also just building relationships, networking, and making connections. Mm-hmm. So that's what my typical morning looks like. Center for Nonprofits has been a huge resource for me. So I've been going to a lot of trainings with them. So just getting out around the mm-hmm. city.
Making connections, networking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then towards the afternoon, my favorite part of the day, first I pick up my son, Silas, mm-hmm. From childcare at 2:30, and then we come back here, and that's when our after-school kids start coming in, and that's the best part of the day, just hanging out with them, seeing their faces, just really connecting with those kids. So yeah. That's and what weekdays would look like.
Because a lot of people listening to this may not know, why don't you give us a quick rundown on what a typical afternoon after school program day would look like? Like, what do you run the kids through, and then what happens in the course of that time together?
So we have kindergarten through 12th grade students who can enroll in our after school programs. So if they are in middle school or in high school, they get here a little bit earlier and mm-hmm. have a snack, have a little bit of huddle time where they we have a prompt for them, or they just kind of do what's going on in their day. Mm-hmm. And then our elementary kids, once they get here, we they kind of switch. Some go in the gym and play mm-hmm. And do organized teamwork games. Or basketball, which mm-hmm. is usually the latter that mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. win us over on, while the others are doing homework or just following some of the curriculum that our volunteers have laid out for them. And then they switch, and about that time it's dinner. They have dinner mm-hmm. and head home. So it okay. goes quick, but we try to get as much in those 2-3 hours that we have with them.
Little mentoring, little academic activity, little... Yeah. exercise, and then we feed them and send them home.
Yes.
But we don't have any of that right now.
No.
So during that time now, you are trying to figure out who's okay. And then I guess we've now started serving a meal in the evenings, but it's just grab and go?
Yeah. So that's when Sydney gets here, she is continually checking on them, but grab and go meals through the food bank. So we were already doing the same program with the food bank, but now Sydney has gloves on. Mm-hmm. I mean, the students have to come here, but bags up their dinners and takes it out to their car, and they're on their way. So we do a lot of air hugs and mm-hmm. air high fives, but other than that, it's a pretty quick interaction. It's not, it's not our favorite.
Different world yes. for you, different yeah, world, for and sure. different world for you, Zach. So let's start with the question I asked her a second. What if not for the coronavirus, what would a typical Thursday look like for you?
Well, starts pretty similar. I generally, you know, coming off of a Wednesday night, which is definitely, and Wednesdays are definitely my heaviest days of the week, because they start sometime around 8 and don't end till 8 or 9 p.m. and I'm not getting home till 9:30. So I usually try to take the morning pretty easy, and then Thursday staff meeting, we're usually meeting for a couple hours, staff lunch. Thursdays are very breezy, and I'll do a lot of texting later that afternoon, and maybe even meetings and things like that. And then Fridays are generally going to be, you know, a lot more leisurely too. Really, the first half of my week was always like prepping for Wednesday night and doing a lot of study and things like that. The back half of my week is always meeting with people and you know, in person, if you can remember those days back before COVID-19, back when we had like could go get coffee with somebody. And so it would be equal parts youth, equal parts creative, whatever technology needed to be done, whether that's sermon series graphics, advertisement graphics. There might be a video project every now and then. It really wasn't too bad. I could pretty much parse out my weeks pretty well and have a lot of space for relationship and rest. And then I assume you're going to probably ask me what my life is like now.
Yeah, tell me what your days are like now. I know they all kind of run together.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of a blur. And it changes week to week and even day to day. But I figured I'd start with the first week was borderline insane, especially after that first Sunday that we canceled and didn't have anything. I remember waking up that Monday, opening my laptop, and then I was on my laptop pretty much all day until 10 o'clock that night when I shut it and went to sleep. And that was my week, because the reality is this was a big wake up call to us as an organization, and and showed me and us just how vastly underprepared we were to go completely online from our services, but not just services, even just how our ministries interact with parishioners and congregants. From the youth department standpoint, like I've noticed a lot of blind spots that and places where I kind of got lax over the last year of maybe not emphasizing, hey, like, make sure you're on the remind text, or like, hey, make sure you're on the email list and things like that. And so now that we're into this moment, I'm finding that even in my own department, like there are just kids that I don't have contact with because I don't, you know, they don't have a great way of knowing, when stuff is happening. And I don't have a great way to contact them. And so this has been good for that. But, so my day will consist a lot of making sure it's been a lot of Zoom coordination, in conjunction with Chris Yates. He's been hugely helpful to me, just helping me work through how Zoom even works, 'cause I'd never used it before all this. But then understanding it in, figuring out how it all works together, like how our Sunday school classes are going to run, how our Wednesday nights are going to run, how small groups will run. Should we do, you know, like in the youth department or even children's, I mean, we're doing things a little differently. I mean, children's, like with Worship and Wonder, Lisa is doing her own standalone video that she just sends out. And then like youth, we're doing our services all on Zoom. And so just trying to figure out what the preferences for everybody is, staying in contact with people, making sure nobody slips through the cracks, like Word and Table or any of our other congregations, making sure that they're all taken care of technologically. And Word and Table, especially, who just is notoriously low tech, which is one of the beauties of their service. Yeah, intentionally low tech, which is the beauty of their service. And so I'm pretty sad for them that they, I mean, just like all of us, we can't meet together. So yeah, it's a lot of just spinning plates and make sure the plates don't run into each other and all of that. It's just
so
chaos.
From where I sit, I'm grateful for both of you. I mean, Kaylee, I'm about to talk with you some more about how it is that you are on the front lines of like food delivery. Mm-hmm. Like I have video and picture evidence that you are out there carrying food to people. Zach is on the very front lines of our technological presence out there. We have a service that we record and then broadcast, for lack of, it's still hard for me to make my mouth say that, on broadcast on Sunday mornings. And that doesn't happen without Zach being the tip of the spear in that effort. So before we get farther into this, I just want to say to you both, I'm so grateful for what you do, and then how you do it. The posture with which you're doing this is representative of this Jesus character and what we're trying to be as a church. So there's that. Okay, Kaylee.
Thank you.
So having seen some of that picture and video evidence of you being out in the midst of all of this delivering food, important question, because you have a good looking boy at home named Silas and another one named Cameron, right? Mm-hmm. So, and you want to be careful that you don't take disease home. So tell me what you do to stay safe, to keep yourself as best you can from being infected.
Yeah. I mean, as always, everyone is washing their hands. When we walk in to our office, hand sanitizer. When we walk out, hand sanitizer. I've even started cleaning my office as I leave, just really all the cleaning products I can get my hands on, I'm using.
Yeah.
And then when we are receiving the food or delivering the food, bagging it up, we're sanitizing it, taking all the precautions of making sure that we're not delivering the virus when we deliver the food.
Right.
And using gloves, dropping it off on the door, not going in, not sticking around to talk, which again hurts our hearts, because that relationship piece is the part that makes working here so fun. So just really having to have in our mind that the food is what the mission is, not the relationship at this point, which I think in a roundabout way, obviously,
right.
We're in relationship with these people, and that's why we're able to know that they are in need in that moment. But I'm even gone as far as going in a different door than usual, taking my shoes off, just not touching anyone until I wash my hands, and even change clothes if it's been a day where I'm really around a lot of different people or in and out of different places. So just really going the extra mile to try to keep it at bay, as well as trying to stay as healthy as I can.
Yeah. Do you find yourself coaching the people around you? Like, do you find yourself saying, hey, make sure that you, like, are you doing that a lot?
Yes. And thankfully, every time I've walked in and Sydney's serving food, she already has all precautions on. She's gloved up. She's using trash bags to hand them the food so she's not touching their hands. Like, she, I don't, thankfully, don't have to worry about that with my staff.
Yeah. Good. And Zach, you're doing a little different. Now, I know you've actually helped deliver some of this stuff too, but typically you're around here running the technological ship.
Yeah.
But still, you have to be careful too. How are you staying safe?
Yeah, a lot of similar stuff to what Kaylee's already said. Like, from a personal standpoint, I mean, I'm generally not like a, I'm not germophobic or like not, I, before this, I just wasn't that conscious of it. I mean, honest, I'm a youth pastor. I mean, I've probably ingested like so much weird stuff over the years from like the weird games we've played, like just strange stuff. but even in my own life, like I'm conscious of like even wiping down my car because I'm touching a lot of stuff in the car and like kind of transferring stuff, trying to keep in mind of like how much I'm transferring to places. But then whenever I get here, like for the Sunday morning service, that's probably going to be like the most people we ever put in a room, during this whole thing where we're trying to keep everything at that 10 and below. And so we're, conscious of how many people are in the sanctuary at one time, how, like where they're sitting, how close together they are. Even like in the prep, Nicole Berkeley, who's been phenomenal for me, in the audio world, we're sanitizing microphones. We're making sure that everything is wiped down and clean, and we're spraying stuff down with Lysol, constantly just making sure that we're conscious of who is touching what. And then just the nature of, the technology itself is part of keeping people safe, and keeping our most vulnerable safe. And so we're trying to think through ways, and you've helped me think through ways too, of how we can keep people connected, while staying safe. And that's with the service, but also with, I mean, the reality is that some of our homebound, elderly folk can't get on to YouTube to watch that. So we have, Alicia Limke McLean, a former guest, she's burning the service DVDs, and we're getting those sent out and making sure that those are sanitized and things like that. So
burning them onto DVDs.
She's not lighting any DVDs on fire. That's just counterproductive. I'm not sure why.
Well, at the old church camps I used to go to, they used to tell us we need to go and burn all of our secular 8-tracks and cassette tapes.
I did have a youth pastor once tell me to burn some CDs.
Did you?
I didn't. No. No, I love the devil music too much.
Oh, okay. We're going to have to edit that. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry, fans.
I'm so sorry, fans.
So anyway, so she is burning these DVDs onto DVDs, and we're mailing those to people.
Yeah, mailing them.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to pivot here a little bit. What scares you, Kaylee? So here we are in the era of the, I don't even know what to call this. This is such a huge thing.
Just call it a season.
Yeah. In this particular season
that you don't know how long it's going to last.
No, it's all consuming. I want to let folks inside of the pastor's minds and imagination. And, I'm curious, what frightens you these days, specifically as it has to do with COVID-19 and all that goes along with it?
I mean, everything from, I mean, it's funny. This podcast is Unafraid. What did you call it a couple weeks ago?
Oh, we're going to change the name to Relatively Afraid.
Mildly afraid.
Still not panicking, but kind of bugged.
I still not panicking.
Okay, still not panicking. Yeah.
Oh, well, there are times where I let myself just go there and just emotionally break down. But I mean, everything from catching the virus. My husband is immunocompromised, so just that fear, just extra fear around that. And just who is it gonna take from us? I mean, in a couple weeks, a couple months, I think, I've shared with both of you this week, like the grief, I can see it coming, and I just don't want to deal with it. I don't want it to come. And so I think just that is scary in itself, of just knowing that our world and our loved ones and our city is going to change so much in the coming days. It's just scary. Yeah. And I'm scared what's going to happen to the most vulnerable in our community long term, and kind of the fallout of all of this. You just can't predict any of it. So will we be able to support them in meaningful ways? Will we be able to continue connection so that people don't feel isolated and don't fall into depression, or because this can feel lonely. I would say I'm more fearful, or I'm more afraid than I have been in a long, long time. I don't know if I ever have been. Had this many things that I can point to as me scaring me.
Okay. How are you navigating? It obviously hasn't paralyzed you.
Yeah.
So how are you navigating
the dime? Yeah.
That fear?
I've been waking up before my son, which hasn't always been the case, and trying just to spend as much time as I can by myself, just in prayer, in the word, just really listening, just starting my day off on a positive, almost centering myself before the day. That has been helping. Having friends that you can just cry to and say the honest things that you're feeling, just venting and getting that out. And then just finding the good in that day, in that moment, and not worrying about too far in the future. I kind of let myself go there, and then I have to bring it back and say, okay, don't worry about the future in ways that I can't control, because I can't. But here and now, what can I do to be faithful and to just live out what we talk about and what we preach here?
So I'm going to give you this one so you can kind of think on it while I'm asking Zach the same question. But I am going to ask each of you to tell me, when did God last surprise you by showing up? Mm. Right? So just be thinking about that. And I asked you because you've talked a little bit about it. You've mm-hmm. seen. So, but Zach, same question. What frightens you these days?
Well, I was listening to Kaylee talk, and I was struck by, I mean, even just the like living in the moment sort of thing. Cause I, and you've used the terminology of marathon rather than a sprint. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm not a runner. I don't work super hard for this, this body that I have right now, but when I have run, I am one of those who needs to know where that finish line's at, where that next mile marker's at. And so that, you know, in this season of COVID-19, where we're running this marathon that, and Kaylee was joking about it yesterday, that it's a marathon right now that we don't know the end of it, and it could turn into a triathlon. We may be swimming at some point. We may be riding a bike at another. Like, we just have no clue what's going to happen. And that brings anxiety and stress and worry. You know, and I've been talking to family members over the last couple of weeks, and, you know, at least one has been laid off. Another set wasn't like financially in a great spot anyways. And now they're off in a completely different state from the rest of us. And I'm worried about them. My parents own a small business. Like, I'm worried about that. The economic fallout of this, how that's going to change the complexity of our country and our neighborhood, even, what this is going to look like. And then, you know, and I don't know if this is a worry, but it's what I was telling my students yesterday was that I just feel like we've all felt just this collective loss, some of life, but also of just routine and loss of normalcy and loss of tangible friendships. And by tangible, I mean just being able to go up and give somebody a hug or a handshake or anything like that. I've just felt this loss. And I work with, you know, teenagers who, and I don't know, you know, if listeners can remember back to when they were in high school or anything like that. You don't even have to be a senior, to know that, you know, the end of the school year is always so much fun. You're always looking forward to summer. There's trips to go on. There's friends to hang out with. Like there's, you're blowing off classes, you're doing whatever. And so there's a loss of that, just a loss of just this, sense of what it means to be human right now. And I think that, not necessarily worries me. Cause I think humanity has a remarkable way of bouncing back from things like this. It's just, how long will this last and what will we look like when we come out of it? I think that's probably what I worry most about.
So how do you navigate when these fears creep in? And we've talked a little bit about this, when those thoughts invade, right? What do you do? How do you navigate these scary times?
Well, at this point you mentioned like being paralyzed, and I don't feel like I have that luxury right now to be paralyzed. And so for me, it looks a lot like better self-care and taking time to take a breath. I mean, I don't know when this will air, but this past Sunday, you talked about dry bones and breathing life. And what I talked to my students on Wednesday about was just, I shared with them, I mean, that this is stressful for adults too. We don't know what's coming. We don't know what this is like, but, I shared with them, something that is meaningful to me. And when I was a kid, my dad was in dental school and he was gone a lot because he was trying to support us financially as well as being in school. And he would work nights at a hospital as a radiology tech and then would go to school all day. And it would stress me out and I'd get anxiety because he wasn't there. And like, I just felt like I was just missing a parent. But like, the one thing that that always reminded me of him was he loved, Stephen Curtis Chapman. And there's this one song called Be Still and Know based off of, that Psalm, I think 46, where it says, Be Still and Know That I Am God. And I shared that with my students last night and, you know, in full transparency, yesterday was probably my hardest day. That I've had during this whole thing where it just feels like the weight of everything is just on your shoulders. And not just because of what's happening here around the church, but like, I mean, all routines are changed where, you know, my wife works at home now and like we're now having to navigate like what it's like to work, you know, in the same vicinity. And like and there are extra stresses from my extended family and on top of just like feeling like I can't just go see my students and I just can't be in relationship as I knew it with people. And it just keeps adding to this weight. And so it's a lot. So a lot of it for me is just finding moments where I can just breathe. Cause I'm not great at like sitting down for, you know, like a half an hour and doing like, you know, structured prayer. For me, I find God in those small, tiny moments where I can just kind of like close my eyes and just take a deep breath for a second and then just know that I need to press on and keep going.
I would think that we need to continue to remind one another and our people for that matter, that Sabbath is still a thing. And especially for you two who are working as hard as you are these days, it probably, for longevity's sake, we still need to figure out a way to practice Sabbath.
Well, and you and I have had this discussion over the past like 6 months about Sabbath. Cause you know, on the days that I don't get, I usually take Mondays off, and lately I haven't felt like I could take a full day off. Like there's just too many things to do. And you said something really striking to me at one point where you said like, you need to get to a place where you're not thinking of Sabbath as like a full day. And if you lose that day, you don't have Sabbath. Like you need to start thinking of it as a mindset, a Sabbath mindset where you can start to let some things go and be okay with these just little moments where you can see the beauty of God and just take a deep breath and let him fill you.
Yeah. And it's ultimately be great if we could all have a day that we could completely section off. I think that's even a little bit harder these days.
Mm-hmm.
But when you can't when you can't put up the fence that allows you to have a whole day, then take the moments that you get, right? We're not quite to the where did you see God yet? When did God surprise you? But I do want to ask you, I want the church to kind of know what's going on. I want to know what you're doing with your lives, but also want them to know what's going on where your minds and hearts and imaginations are concerned. Mm-hmm. I think that's helpful to people too. Is there anything that's been good about this COVID-19 experience? Like, can you think of anything that's been good? Like, what? Maybe say it like this. I'm grateful for blank in this experience. Anything?
I mean, yeah, I think there's a lot that it has. I mean, sitting down and having a meal with our family together, and our schedules, like if I wasn't working late, then Cameron was. So it was just tag teaming. And so just being able to be together as a family has been probably one of the biggest blessings. Now I get to leave the house. My husband and son don't. So I think they are a little bit stir crazy. But I do think that has been so good. And for one, I mean, for our organization, I think it's good to have to become creative in different ways. Yeah. It's good to develop those muscles that we will be able to stay in better communication with our people, and the way that people from my board to my committees to just the community, the church, everyone has been so willing to help in whatever way they can. And not that they weren't before, but it just has been overwhelming, the amount of support we've gotten. So I put that in the category as good.
Me too. Zach, anything? What comes to mind?
Yeah, the creativity of the organization is big. When you're my partner in videoing the service, Ryan Scott, and I, we had a long time to sit and talk because we were working on that video for a long time that first week. And we talked about even just like creativity and how it can function. And one of the things that we thought was interesting is that a lot of people think that creativity happens when you take all the boundaries away and like you can just be free to create. When in all actuality, the best creativity happens when you can limit things.
That's right.
When you put boundaries on things. That, you know, case in point, one of my favorite, and I'm so sad that it's gone. I know that as a replacement, but like when Vine was a thing, it was set. You had 7 seconds to just be whatever you were going to be. And the creativity that came out of that was astounding, like incredible. I have never laughed harder than at a 7-second Vine video. And if you ever want to know my favorite vines, just email me, Zach@OKCFirst. I will bless your life with that. But this has limited us, but has also enabled a bigger imagination for all the creative things that we can do, from even just seeing the capability of Zoom. Like we wouldn't have explored Zoom otherwise. Like why would we need that? Like, I mean, because we could just do a Google Hangout, or like we can just meet in person. But like now we can kind of see, okay, maybe in moderation, Zoom would be awesome. Maybe not like 4 Zoom calls a day at this point, but it would be nice to like have the option to do that. And then like, last week we brought in Mike Bell and Chris Yates and even you to like talk online. And
what
like
do you mean? And even me? That's strange.
Even you. We hear from you all the time. I'm so tired of hearing you talk. That's all it.
Actually, I get tired of hearing my own voice, so I don't begrudge that in the least.
I have spent over the last 3 weeks, I've spent just an obscene amount of time with you.
I know, it's unbelievable.
I think you know what? Like it's too much, man. Like, it's way too much. It's just enabling us to see like what is possible, even with these service recordings. I'm in the camp with you. It is a necessary thing for us and at this point in time to be all online. But I think there is something to be said about being able to have something, a way scaled back version of it, whenever we finally come out of this, for even just so we can turn up the volume on what we're doing around here. but we need to be able to, a lot of times we just need to be able to see it before it could become a thing later. But I would say the creativity that comes out of this is huge, and just seeing the ways that people, seeing the ways that people step up in crisis, and all the people that have poured in over text and email and said like, hey, how can we help? That's been huge to watch. I love watching all of that. And unfortunately, like, there's not like always tons to do all the time, but like, again, this is a marathon. Like, it is nice to have that pool of people. So whenever the need does start to grow and get bigger, we're going to call on people.
That's right. So it's April 2nd when we're recording this, and we don't know necessarily when it's going to be published, and just yesterday, the governor, extended our safer at home guidelines, which falls just short of a shelter in place. There may be that here pretty soon, but extended all of that until the very end of April. So April 30th. So you're right. I mean, volunteerism when you're under a shelter in place order is different from volunteerism when you're not.
Yeah.
Right. If I were to ask each of you, I'm going to start with you, Kaylee, what is the one thing you would ask for if you could get people to give you something or donate something or help you in one way or another, what is the one thing you would ask for?
So because we don't know how long this is going to last and the nature of it and what turns it's going to take along the way, the best way for people to volunteer is to join our text Remind. And that way I can send out a text, and if you can fill that need or if you can volunteer in that way, everyone will get that at the same time. So it's just going to be for one time instances, like taking food to somebody who needs it or becoming a reading buddy through Zoom with a student, things like that. Once we...
So if they text you, you will respond with a way that they can help.
Yeah. So they join this text and then I will send out a mastermind, like looking for reading buddies. And then whoever wants to join can text me back and I'll connect with them that way.
How do they join this group?
You text the phone number is 81010, and then you text the message at one help. So at @onehelp.
And we'll make sure and put that on the show notes and stuff. So you'll be able to see this if you just look in the description.
At one help. So that's you can only ask for one thing. You want to add people to your volunteer list, and they may be able to volunteer and help you without ever leaving their homes.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Perfect. Zach, same question. If you could ask for one thing, for people's help with one thing, what would that one thing be?
I don't know if I have one, but so what I keep thinking about is actually like, it's strange to say this, but all that we're doing from a technology standpoint, like all the services and anything like that, are only as good as the connections that people make on an individual basis. Mm. So it's only as good as our community is rooted. And so so probably what I would ask first is just, I keep thinking about this loose connections thing and even just what we've taken for granted on, like what we get to experience on Sunday morning during meet and greet. Where you just have those connections with people who you just kind of bump into someone, and you're like, hey, mm-hmm. how's it going? Or it could be a 2-second interaction, mm-hmm. but we lose that even with these services. And I think what I would ask of people is to think of those loose connections. Think of the people who you normally might run into on a Sunday morning. You may have to think hard about it because they might happen so quick, but reach out to people, like find out how everybody's doing. Like we have pastors who are doing that. And we have some volunteers who are mm-hmm. doing that, but we need everybody to do that.
We need to
be community, and we need to stay rooted. And the way that we do that is through those connections. And then mm-hmm. probably just like as an aside, if you have a creative idea or you have a creative skill set or technological skill set, just email me zach@okcfirst.com. Let me know that you're willing to help and or what you do. And what you're good at. Mm-hmm. I may not have anything for you to do right away, but again, as the needs grow, as things mm-hmm. grow, I would love to have a short list of people to be able to pull from. So that would be my thing. I kind of cheated. I said two.
That's okay. That's fine. But because you cheated, I'm going to start with you on this question then. I've asked you guys to tell a brief story telling all of us where God showed up and surprised you, maybe most recently, maybe most memorably?
So, I have two things. One, I'll just start with most recent. I mentioned that I had a really rough day yesterday, and God always ends up finding ways to surprise me through people. And even people I just wasn't like, that just came out of nowhere. And I had, a parent of a couple of my students call me out of the blue. And we talk relatively often, but I hadn't heard from him and, you know, since this whole thing started, and he called me. And lately it's been, you know, I'll answer the phone and I'll say, how can I help you? Cause like usually there's something that somebody needs, like some Zoom call that needs to be troubleshot. And he goes, no, like nothing. Like, I'm just trying to find out who you are. And I just want to like make you laugh for a second. And, and that was the greatest gift that anybody could have given me in that moment. And,
timely.
Do what? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Timely for sure. And then the other one was, I found it so, even though it wasn't the same, it'll never be the same as a regular Sunday morning. There was something about that morning. And maybe I was just tired and emotional, but, that first morning that we had online service, and the pictures started just like flooding in of people watching the service, people being like feeling like there was a sense of community again, and mm-hmm. feeling like we were the church again. It felt like a cold drink of water after just mm-hmm. a long walk through the desert. And I had a hard time not crying, mm-hmm. Especially while Chesney was singing mm-hmm. it as well. I was a mess. And I mean, granted, I had just stayed up like all night making the video. So I think there's a touch of just like, I think I was tired. I saw God in those couple places. So just show up and show up in full
force.
That's
great. It as well has kind of become a theme song mm-hmm. for this season. And I'm happy for us to hang on to that. What about you, Kaylee? Places where God has shown up and surprised you?
Yeah, I mean, it looks different than the places he usually does. But I would say with people, it's always, that's where it always, he always uses people to surprise me. And I mean, man, who can just tell everyone how great Bonnie Goodwin is? I think she was on a couple pods ago, but she's been kind of my lifeline in all of this. And one thing she said in one of the Zoom meetings we had that just really just has helped me since then is just being human together. We were talking about ways we can connect people. And something about that just, I don't need to be the executive director at this time. I don't need to be Kaylee, the one, the kids club, they call me, are you with kids club? I don't have to be that. I can just be human with my community. And that just has changed the way, I mean, I'm more vulnerable when I talk with them. And I've seen how that also makes them more able to talk to me about what they're going through and ask me how I'm doing. It just deepens the relationship in a way that I don't think I would have had without this. Yeah. We're able to connect in a way that over the phone, through text, on Facebook, but connect in a way that has been really meaningful and that I think God has used to help me in this.
So on these podcasts, typically what we do is we end with a really good, serious question and then a long series of not serious questions. So here is the good, serious question before we get to the nonsense. Zach, coming back to you. Here we are. And we have used the language of marathon, and we've also said that we're not sure when it's going to end. Mm-hmm. But what gives you hope? What gives you hope?
So when we do these podcasts, we build these outlines and we fill them in with questions. And I've been staring at this hope question for a week and I am having a really hard time with it. And I think all I can say, there are small pockets of hope to use the breath language, they're just small breaths where God's present. And I think the hope is, for me, simply that, and some of it's just faith, is that God's still breathing and God's still there And that's the hope that we can cling to when it's, when people die and when, our way of life is different, and when we're sequestered to our homes, and the psychological and health effects start to creep in with that even. And it seems so bleak, and it seems like a dark storm cloud. A storm I don't want to deal with. My hope is that, we're still in the season of Lent. We're about to hit Easter, and the hope is that death doesn't have the last word. And that just has to be something that I cling to. And I just have to find those small little moments where God is peeking through, and and remember that the light touches everywhere. Maybe I'm just not opening my eyes yet to see it. Maybe I am scared, but I have hope that God's there.
Mm. Very good. I like it.
Yeah.
Kaylee, where do you find hope even in these darker days?
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, that was very hopeful. Zach, thank you for that. That helps me, because I have the same way. I'm struggling with the word hope and how to see it right now. But I mean, and I think if I just am honest, like, what is giving me joy in these moments that I think will sustain through this? And it's the connections being made. I've talked to way more neighbors than I would have. I mean, 6 feet or farther, but I've talked to more
to
neighbors.
Be clear.
Yeah. I have connected with old friends. I think it's just getting rid of all the fuzziness and getting our priorities straight. And I think that good can come from this. God is making beautiful things out of this. It's going to be hard, and there's not going to be, it's not saying there won't be times where of just great despair, I do see beauty. It's interesting that it's spring. We're right now, it's spring, and I see it in just this, how God already takes care of us through the seasons. Mm-hmm. And that promise that he will see us through this season.
Yeah. In my neighborhood, some of the trees are starting to bud, and some of the greenery is starting to come back. And I drove past them yesterday thinking, good grief, those trees have no idea.
Right. Somebody tell them.
That we're in the middle of the COVID-19 mess, and that they don't. My precious dogs don't seem to know either.
No. Nor do mine.
Mine, I think, is like, why are you here all the time?
You're here a lot.
My cat is super mad at us. He hates the fact that we're around all the time. Oh. Like, so much. He's like, go.
We go on way more walks now, so she likes that. But
that's good.
Okay, you're making the final turn here, and I've not prepared each of you for
this.
I've
never been on this side.
List
I'm terrified.
Of off the top of my head, random rapid fire questions.
But are we answering the same ones or different?
Both.
Okay.
Actually, this one will be the same question for each of you.
Okay.
I am struck by the fact that between the three of us, there is one good beard, and
it's
only
not me.
On Zach. So, favorite brand of beard care products, ready, Zach, go.
Wait, did you say this is for both of us?
Yeah, because she's married to someone who also owns a great beard.
Okay. So I'm a really terrible beard owner. I don't know what you call that. Do I own this beard?
Curator.
I don't know. Curator. Yes, I'm a very terrible beard curator in that I don't buy the boutique anything. I mean, I just use like Old Spice, just regular shampoo conditioner for that thing. And
okay. Is that your final answer? Old Spice?
Oh, yeah, we'll go with Old Spice.
Old Spice. Kaylee?
I am really sad I can't think of this company, because it's a product. It's an oil I bought from one OKC event that... So I don't know. Probably, I don't know if it's happening.
Okay, we're going to edit that question out. Okay, second question.
That was great. Leave it.
Wait, you do this?
I generally don't take anything out.
But it was... Anyway, I want to plug her business. but I don't know the name of it. Is...
Yeah, good plug. That's good.
Okay, we're going to edit this out still?
No, we're keeping this. That's great. I want to plug it, but I don't know the name.
I can send it to you later and give you the show notes.
Oh, I'll just put a voiceover in.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Favorite place for you and Natalie to go eat when you're spending less than $20?
Oh, man.
For the two of you.
Okay, less than $20. You can spend less than $20 at... Torchy's, you can. Ooh. You can achieve it. Torchy's would probably be it.
Torchy's Tacos. What about for you and Cameron?
Probably, I'm trying to think. Chipotle, probably.
Okay, all right.
So boring, but.
When you're spending more than $20.
I have that one. Cheevers.
Oh,
Cheevers.
You should ask me first. Cheevers.
Cheevers, yeah. Okay. musical instrument that you wish you could play, Zach?
The hammer dulcimer.
Oh man, James Shea.
Always wanted to play the hammer dulcimer. I just think it's fascinating.
We have this great older man named James Shea who can do such a thing. I bet he'll teach you.
Yeah, him and I happen to be friends, but he plays everything. I mean, he'll play the bass guitar and regular guitar and dulcimer and everything. And now he's sequestered, so he's probably going to be like a rock god by the end of this.
Kaylee, musical instrument that you wish you could play?
Piano. I don't know. Should have stuck with it.
We'll start with Kaylee on this one. Pet name for your spouse that your spouse would rather us not know?
Camera.
Camera?
Yeah.
What?
Camera? Like camcorder. Anything like that.
Camcorder.
That's pretty good.
Cam. He likes that one.
That's so bad.
For you, sir.
I'm trying to think of one I don't have to bleep.
Oh my. Wow.
But maybe, oh, she hates, so her name's Natalie, and she hates Natri. Some people will go, hey, Nat Tree.
Nat Tree? And she hates that.
She hates it. Don't do it.
Unbelievable.
So sorry, honey.
This is one that's come up often. Most human name for a cat that you can think of.
Derek.
Derek.
I've been waiting my whole life to say this one. My cat, Derek.
Carrot.
And it actually is a great band name, too. Like an indie band name.
Derek the Cat?
No, My Cat, Derek.
My Cat, Derek?
I'm going to make some t-shirts. They're going to play in
that's
Ohio
good.
Next week, probably.
Kaylee, have you ever had a cat?
I actually did have a cat named Kevin.
That's a great human name.
Yeah. Kevin the cat.
And I think she was a girl, too.
Oh, what? Oh,
that makes it even better,
why
actually.
Kevin
the girl cat.
Well, because I think it was around the time of Up. Isn't that the name of, like, the bird, Kevin? Anyway.
I have a confession to make.
Never seen Up either?
I've never seen Up.
Okay.
Never seen it.
I don't do it when you've not slept because it's kind of emotional at the very beginning.
I have heard the beginning is rough.
It is rough now.
But John hasn't seen Frozen, so.
Or Frozen 2.
Or Frozen 2. Yeah. I haven't seen Frozen 2, but I've at least seen Frozen.
Yeah.
If you are going to claim to be Silas's uncle, you've
I got need to watch
to.
Both of those?
Yes.
All right.
Now, are you going to be just an uncle or like a fun uncle?
I want to say fun uncle, but I'll probably end up being weird uncle.
Wunkle.
Yeah.
Munkle John.
Yeah. All right. This is just a couple more here. A boat. You own a boat and you have to name this boat, and it's something totally that the family Lucero or that Zach in particular would. By the way, Kaylee, Lucero is not Italian.
Gosh, how many people are you going to tell this to?
It's not. It's Latino in nature and not Italian. Lucero. Right.
Sometimes I go.
I'm trying to talk Kaylee into hyphenating, going back and hyphenating, because Kokonauer Vaughn would be really fun. But Kokonauer also sounds like something you'd rub on a sunburn, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. But what would you name a boat? Back to the boat. I told you we were going to have some fun with these.
Oh, no. We can't just do two more. Yeah. Anyways, continue.
What would you name your boat?
Oh my gosh. I like to keep it simple. I mean, probably Carlos. Probably name it Carlos.
Why would you name it Carlos?
I just really have always had an affinity for the name Carlos. Like, okay. I just think it'd be great. And Natalie will never let me name a kid Carlos. So, because then we'd sound super Hispanic. So,
There's not a problem with sounding super Hispanic, is there?
Of course not.
Okay.
Of course not. I was the advocate for when Cinco de Mayo fell on Sunday, that we change out all the communion elements with queso and chips.
Yes.
And that is why I'm the worst Christian on our staff. Boom.
Boom.
In your face, Tamara.
Yeah. Kaylee, if you were to name a boat.
Oh, my word. I don't know. Like, Sailie?
You named your boat Sailing?
That sounds...
No, Sailie.
That sounds like Sail-y. Incredibly close Sail-y. To Kaylee.
Oh.
Sailie.
Kaylee Sailie.
Is that why you bought
Kaylee
that boat?
Sailie. You think she bought it with the name already on it?
Yeah. She's like, I like this one.
That's phenomenal. Okay, last question. The song that gets you so hyped that you could actually crush a guitar.
Crush a guitar.
Like just smash a guitar. It just gets you so hyped that you get it. You know why you would just whirl around and just smash a guitar. You like this question, don't you?
I do. I'm thinking really hard about it.
Yeah.
I need Kaylee to go first.
I don't know if I know the name of the song.
This is the perfect opportunity for you to
just
sing
it.
No, it's like the, like, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out.
I think it's called Bring Them Out.
I think it is called Bring Them Out.
I don't know who sings it, but that was like how we ran out in our basketball days in high school, and that's just... gets you pumped.
Yeah. That would allow you to smash a guitar on Cameron's head or
yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. That's gonna be note to Cameron.
Okay. It's gonna kill me.
Cameron.
Okay, song that gets you so hyped you could in a Christian sort of way, right? Smash a guitar.
There's just so many of them. Like I'm an emotional player. So like there's a lot of them that I could do that. Like Easter last year, I totally could have smashed my guitar to So Will I. We were jamming. But probably like if I'm like driving down the road and I just want like I want to feel cool with my sunglasses on. Like for some reason I have a convertible now.
Yeah.
Shoot to Thrill by AC/DC. Like whoa, it's just pure rock. It's perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. His voice is so weird and you can just scream it.
Absolutely.
It's the best.
Well, that's a good closer, isn't it?
That's like a good that closer. One? I like it. I wish I would. That's one that I wish I could have just like researched a little bit and thought through. I'm gonna have like a top five for you at some point.
I wanted to ask, you know, one, I kind of want to go back and ask my dad, like, what's dad, what's one song? And it would probably be some Willie Nelson song.
Smash my guitar to Willie Nelson to On the Road Again.
You are always on my mind.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys, things are stressful and we got to be able to laugh in the midst of it.
That's right.
And I'm reminded too, you know, we spent some time in a Charlie Mackesy book and there was one little page that I'm reminded of all the time. It says, yep, things are scary out there, but we're less scared when we're together.
Mm-hmm. So true.
And it is frightening. I'm just a little less frightened because I get to work with you guys. So it's good to have you guys around. So Kaylee, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Zach, thank you for being such a good guest.
I don't want to do this again. I'll be a host next week.
All right. Do you want to do the sign off?
No. It's all you.
You want me to do it?
No, it's all you. There's music playing right now. Like you're already wasting time.
Okay. Friends, thank you for joining us for this Only Slightly Afraid podcast, a part of the OKC First Podcast Network. We will catch you next time.
Still not panicking.